going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In the position. I want to just thank the 49ers and their ownership and general manager John Lynch for selecting me and making me the pick.
What has the last 24 hours been like for you? What kind of what has been your process during the day today? And
it's been pretty rapid. Like I've been really like trying to just bring it in the right way. So I still been working out and stuff like that. But I've been just spending a lot of time with my family and my people. And just being around my loved ones the last 24 hours and bring it in the right way.
Did you know the 49ers were on you to this extent, and did you feel real good after your 30 visit?
I did. After my 30 visit, I felt like we had a great connection. I wasn't sure if they would take me or another player, but I feel like I was in a mix. And just to get that call, man, it was a blessing.
How exactly did that 30 visit go, and was there a particular coach or a player that you connected with there?
No, it went great, and I really connected well with the whole staff. I can't say just one particular, but it went well, man. It went great. I reviewed tape, we talked ball, and I just toured the facility, and they got a great feel of the building of the staff, and I ended up here, so it's a blessing.
Could you talk a little bit about your ankle sprain last season and how difficult it was to play the whole year with that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I hurt my ankle like week one last year. And then I ended up playing through it, and I played on it the whole year. And that really just wasn't a smart decision at the time. I just wanted to be out there with my guys, man. So I was playing through it. I was through a lot of pain. And right now I'm 100% healthy, though. And I've been working, working out and moving on it like normal. So.
Michael, obviously Georgia used you all over the place. I know you did play some nine technique. How do you view this as your fit for the wide nine, Aaron, and what they like to do up front?
I love it, man. I'm excited. Out of four, I'm nine at Georgia, but just to be primarily nine tech, but like, I'm excited, man. Super excited.
What is it about your skill set that makes you a fit for that?
I feel like because of how well I play on edges, just being in a wide nine the whole game all the time would allow me to make more plays and would allow me just be a better player overall and have a better career.
What are you most looking forward to playing with a defense led by Robert Saleh, and just the culture that you're stepping into?
Man, I'm just excited to play for Coach Saleh and play in this scheme to where, like, he lets the front do what the front does, and which is rush and set edges and play the run. So I'm excited to be to play for Coach Saleh and play in this system and play with the great players that I'm playing with, like Nick Bosa. Man, I can't wait to get to practice. I ain't gonna lie to you. I can't wait to get to practice.
Yeah, how excited are you to play with Nick?
Man, screaming. I can't wait to learn from him. Really, I got so many questions.
Chris Kocurek, the D-line coach, I guess, told John and Kyle that you're the best edge setter in college football. What does that type of respect mean to you?
And I appreciate, man, that's major because it's coming from a very valued source. So that's major, and I really appreciate that opinion on me from him.
John Lynch spoke highly of your character, learning about you throughout the process. Where is that sort of coachability that you come with rooted? Like, where did that start? Who taught it to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like I kind of been this way all my life, honestly, man. Like, and it's kind of weird to say, actually. Like, I don't remember, like, one instance, one moment, or, like, one season where I just changed. So I kind of feel like it just gradually just got better, you know, as I grown and matured.
All right, and that's Mykel Williams. Mykel Williams with the 49ers, their 11th overall pick, the defensive end out of Georgia, and that was the selection, and that was him addressing the media for the first time as a San Francisco 49er. He'll be formally introduced with the 49ers probably early next week along with the rest of the draft class. But a few things stand out. One, he was asked about his injured ankle. I know, Sterling, you brought this up the second that he was drafted. Heard it very early last year in week one. Decided to play on it all year. He said it maybe wasn't the best decision, but he just wanted to be out there with his guys all season long. But he did say, quote, "I'm 100% now. The ankle is 100%, and he's been out there practicing like normal." So that is good news. I know Niner fans, I know me, myself personally, scarred by Niners drafting injured players. It hasn't always turned out the best. So whenever you do draft somebody that has and not necessarily like an injury history or someone that you would necessarily call injury prone, but someone that does have a recent injury that bothered them in their most recent season, it is concerning. But good to hear the Mykel Williams say that his ankle is now officially 100% as he gears up for his first offseason as a 49er.
Well, there's a big difference in injury prone and a player that was injured, right? Like Javon Kinlaw had chronic knee injuries throughout college, and San Francisco took a big risk on him. But Mykel Williams is not that kind of player. Obviously, different positions, but the ankle injury, he told you himself, it's fully healed now. It's not a thing that comes back over and over again. It was a one-time thing, and hopefully it's cleared up. But also, he plays a position where he's not going to be usually in between the tackles, and Lance Sala, who loves doing this, is using him as a stunting defensive end. So there maybe is cause for concern, but I would rather have Mykel Williams and I'm more confident in him being healthy compared to Jahad Campbell, who had the shoulder injury, Josh Simmons, who had the patellar injury, and then, of course, the red flag guys like Mike Green and Josh Pierce Jr. So Mykel's just an outstanding person. He's a team captain last year. A lot of reasons to like him on and off the field for San Francisco.
Yeah, the name Javon Kinlaw obviously raises a lot of alarms, but I think it's because one of the reasons, at least from what I've gathered, the Niners are as interested in the players that they are now they build their board is the relationships that they have with the college coaches, and they really depend on the word of the men who are there every single day. You know, Kyle Shanahan has spoken about, like, I'm not going to be able to gather enough in just one interview or one dinner or these visits. You got to talk to these guys. And Will Muschamp is someone that the 49ers have had a relatively long relationship with. And it worked out for someone like Debo Samuel, who obviously was a great 49er. Didn't work out for someone like Javon Kinlaw, who had chronic issues. Will Muschamp is, I think, the defensive strategy analyst or something like that for the University of Georgia. He has a role within their defensive department. So the fact that they have the relationship, it's a little 50-50 right now. It could be something where Muschamp is, and I think he's as honest as any, is telling.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Telling them this is what you're going to get. But I think the Niners are betting on the build, the physicality, what they see him becoming both this season and I think in the future. And the fact that he was able to play through an entire season injured indicates that there is toughness. You know, he didn't have a massive amount of production behind playing injured, and he admitted in that clip, that segment we just heard, that that was a mistake. But I think the Niners are kind of willing to put their faith in the people that were around Williams the most. And to me, that's the smartest way to do business. So,
yeah, I also think what the Niners are betting on is, one, while maybe they agree with Michael Williams that it was a mistake to play on the injured ankle, they're drafting a dude who loves to play football, and that is really important when you're spending a first-round pick on a guy, and not necessarily like the Niners, you know, John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan's jobs are resting on this pick hitting, but there is a lot of pressure on getting this pick right, and you're going to want to pick a guy who just flat-out loves to play football. The Niners have a lot of guys who love to play football, and it's what partly what makes Fred Warner so great. It's part of what makes George Kittle so great, because they just love the game of football so much. And if you're willing to play on an injury like that, then I would venture to guess that you really, really enjoy playing football. The other thing is, and I think we heard this come across in his conference call with the Niners media, he said, quote, he said this a couple of times, "I can't wait to get to practice." That also signals, I think, that you really, really love football. And he also said, quote, "I can't wait to learn from Nick Bosa. I've got so many questions for him." I think so much of, I mean, some of the things that you've pointed out, Sterling, in terms of, you know, Mike Green, the edge rusher from Marshall, who was still out there, and a lot of people had a first-round grade on him, maybe one of the best edge rushers in this draft class. He's got some maybe off-the-field concerns that have scared some teams away. It does not seem like that is the case for Michael Williams, and while maybe overlooking some of those potential questions or concerns has worked out for a team like the Eagles, for whatever reason, that just does not float the Niners' boat. They are not comfortable doing that, and it definitely feels like Michael Williams fits the bill of a 49ers culture guy from everything that we know about him up to this point.
I think the way I'd put it is Michael Williams had the least amount of risk attached to his name compared to the guys on the board at the position at the time. And San Francisco doesn't mind taking risks on players. Again, Javon Kinlaw has been mentioned a couple times here. Reuben Foster was one that goes back to the relationships with the coaching staff where they got burned big time by trusting Nick Saban and co out there at Bama. So you can tell that they aren't just bought into Michael Williams as a player, but as a person. And when you get players, like you said, Mark, that love football, which even Joel Klatt this morning on FS1 was saying how there's a lot of guys in this draft class where a lot of scouts and coaches are questioning, do you love the game of football? I don't think you're going to have to question, does Michael Williams love football? And when you say on night one of you being drafted, I can't wait to get to practice, which those hot days at Levi Stadium where there is no shade usually aren't very fun for NFL players. So OTAs are going to be one to watch with Michael Williams out there for the first time in the red and gold.
Yeah, and it seems like he's going to be pretty easy to spot. He's a mountain of a man.
I also think Santa Clara summers might not compare to Georgia summers. So I think he's probably going to be okay in the sun.
He's probably inside in Athens. They got an inside facility down there. But I also think to kind of play off of Sterling's point, I think he's absolutely right. Like, Exhibit A is Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
I think, yes, maybe some of the talent was questioned, and he might not be the greatest quarterback in the world, but people are fearful of what he brings along with just his right arm. And it's the fact that there are these reports that have leaked out about how his interviews have been unprofessional and have not been very enjoyable, and how people have not really gotten a gauge of how much he loves the game of football. And that's obviously one example, but that's going to turn a lot of teams off. And that might be the difference between a team, because not every team is going to see you as a fit. There might be five, there might be six. For Shedeur Sanders, maybe there was only four or five that needed a quarterback. Obviously, we saw there was a lot more teams that needed a defensive lineman because there were 10 of them that were taken in the first round. But the point is, that could be the difference between you getting a spot on this roster and you being a second or potentially third round pick. So I think it's a great point.
Yeah, I think it is too. So Mykal Williams, the Niners pick in the first round. That is it for the Niners in terms of doing business today, at least business that we will likely learn of today. The Niners will be back on the clock relatively early tomorrow in the second round. Second round begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow. The Niners are picking with the 11th pick in the second round in tomorrow's day two of the 2025 NFL draft. Of course, we have your coverage. Of course, the Niners will pick before Sterling and I are on the air at 6 tomorrow, 11th overall, assuming they do not trade back. We will let you know who the Niners pick whenever it happens, and then Sterling and I will have your coverage from day two of the NFL draft, 6 to 10 tomorrow. For now, though, we've got 45 more minutes with you here on day one of draft night on 95.7 The Game. Comments, questions, thoughts, concerns, plan for day two. You can let us know. Hit us up, 888-957-9570. We will get into day two plans for the Niners. Plus, we will hear from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who have spoken glowingly about their new 49er defensive end, Mykal Williams, out of Georgia, picked 11th overall in the 2025 NFL Draft. 45 minutes left with you here on draft night, day one. Evan Gettings, Sterling Bennett, Mark Rennie with you. More next on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back. A relatively straightforward first round in general, but specifically for the San Francisco 49ers. They had one pick, 11th overall. They made it. They addressed arguably their biggest need on their football team with an edge rusher to pair opposite Nick Bosa. They do that by drafting Georgia's Mykal Williams, 11th overall. They don't do anything else, although they were at least trying to trade up to draft Mykal Williams. That didn't work. They got him at 11 anyway, and now they turn towards day two, which begins tomorrow at 4. It's rounds 2 and 3 tomorrow, live from Green Bay. And the 49ers currently have 3 picks to make in day 2. They have their own pick in the second and third rounds, the 11th pick in those respective rounds, 43rd overall and 75th overall. And then they have a special compensatory pick near the very end of the third round, 100th overall. There is a possibility the Niners could make some trades up or back or whatever, we shall see. But as it currently stands, they have 3 picks tomorrow for day number 2. Again, welcome back. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Mark Randy, Evan Gettings, and Sterling Bennett with you here for another 40 or so minutes. So Mykal Williams, DN from Georgia, is the pick in day one. Sterling, looking ahead to day two, 3 picks, again, 1 in round 2 and 2 in round 3. What do you think the Niners' plan of attack should be going forward, looking specifically to just day two?
Yeah, I think it's really important to find that defensive tackle on the interior. You can argue the offensive line, get yourself a swing tackle. Jalen Moore's gone. Do you trust Austin Peasants? I don't think anybody does, even in that room. Do you trust Spencer Burford, who was a pretty good left guard for you as a backup last year, to be your swing tackle? Time will obviously tell. But I think defensive tackle is a big need for this team. Obviously, they don't have anybody really there. Kalia Davis, Evan Anderson, and Jordan Elliott. Those are more of run defending type players for you. I think a player they have seemingly fallen in love with, he's there for a 30 visit. He had an injury this past season. That is Omar Norman Lott from Tennessee. That big pass rushing type that was like Javon Hargrave and like other guys that were in the building. That's all I like. So, whether it is pick 43 or pick 75, I think you're going to see at least one of those picks be and have to be a defensive tackle for this defense.
Yeah, it feels like according to a lot of draft boards, the players sort of left that spilled over into the second round that are still available, shocker, lie on the defensive side of the ball. That's just kind of the deepest part of this draft. And, you know, for the Niners, look, I don't know if they necessarily needed last year going into it a cornerback, but they got a pretty talented one in Renardo Green. Now, I don't necessarily think they need to get one in the second round, but you're obviously going to have someone that has to move over to the slot. You need a third guy. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Niners, and we've seen some guys already fall. Will Johnson has some sort of apparently knee concerns that people believe are the reason why he's fallen into the second round. And, you know, Trey Amos out of Ole Miss. There's some guys, at least at the cornerback position, I think the Niners would be wise to identify, but honestly, they have so many holes at this point. As long as they're getting the best player available and a talent at that pick, I really don't think they can go wrong. I mean, they have so many darts to throw at this point in this draft. It's just about picking the correct guy. You know, I think they got one in the first round. Okay, let's see if we can make that one in the second round. And just continue to stack players because you need starters. And it's not an easy thing to do to just step into this league as a rookie and start an impact, especially high-level football for a team that expects to contend for their division. But that's what they're asking all these players to do.
I wouldn't be shocked if they draft a corner at some point. But, I mean, you got Diamador Lenore on one side. You got Renardo Green, who was a pick early last year, on the other. I don't think they're going into this draft feeling like they need to draft a corner that has to play immediately for them. Might be looking at potentially a safety at some point, because I don't know how much confidence you have in Jair Brown going forward. You feel pretty good about Malik Mustafa, who you also drafted last year. So we'll see what the Niners do in the defensive secondary. But I'm with you, Sterling, in terms of one of your first two picks tomorrow probably should be a defensive tackle, and maybe you just go best available. Maybe you try to factor in value considering where you're picking. Do you think there's a chance we see the Niners go to the offensive line at some point tomorrow, or is that more of a day three thing? Because they have to leave this draft with something on the offensive line, at least.
Yeah, I think it's an important place for them because, again, like I already said, you lose Jalen Moore, you don't have a swing tackle. Trent Williams seemingly misses a game or two each season. The ankle's kind of a ticking time bomb for him. He's going to miss time eventually. Colton McKivitz has played most of his games, but when he has played, isn't the best tackle in football.
but at least
you can certainly find a replacement.
Sterling.
It's true. But I think the Niners are going to be looking for that guard tackle flexible player. I don't know if they want to go with the project, hoping that next year they can be a starter for them once Trent Williams either retires or Colton McKivitz leaves via free agency. So there has to be somewhat of a projection there. If they want an instant impact player, you can go again, Arizona, Jonas Savainea, pretty good player. Jackson Slater from Sacramento State could be a late day three pick for them on the interior that can play guard or tackle, or even center, maybe if things get a little hairy in the middle. Marcus Bowe from Purdue fits that Shanahan swing tackle guard flexible player. So, I think one of tomorrow's three picks will probably be an offensive lineman. The thing is, Shanahan, Chris Forrester, they are so picky with the guys they like, where I know it's aggravating for fans of like, why didn't you take this guy or that guy? Even last year, for example, they don't take Roger Rosengarten. He goes to the Ravens and becomes their starting tackle last year. And they had Pearsall, who, there are some tragic things that happened to him, but it's like, you had a starting right tackle right in front of you. Why didn't you take him? It's because they're so particular with their guys that it makes it confusing and aggravating, but trying to find that needle in the haystack is kind of what they do. And I think on day two tomorrow, whether it's 43, 75, or pick 100, they got to find somebody because there is a need there. Unlike last year where you can kind of fill some holes and you had some guys in place, there isn't that depth you had last year.
Yeah, I think Williams has set a little bit of a precedent for this draft that they're looking for players that they can plug and play. And while he was dealing with injury issues, it's not something they clearly feel concerned about, and so they expect him to start. The question they have to ask themselves is, are you looking for a player that, you know, might need a little bit of grooming, might need time to develop, but could potentially pop, or are you looking for someone that can start right now? And that's obviously, you know, a chicken or the egg type situation, but I think whereas in the past the Niners, to Sterling's point, have been very particular, have looked for guys that are just, you know, kind of best at the particular spot in the draft, they might not be afforded that luxury this year if they indeed want to compete. You know, they also have to figure out, all right, what's the timeline that we're on? That's another question that is more up in the air, I think, more so for the Niners than, say, this draft, is, are you on a timeline to win this season? You dialed things back financially, which tells me, you know, maybe you feel Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch feel relatively comfortable in their positions. You don't have to necessarily find all the starters this season. Maybe you decide to trade up for one. Maybe you decide to trade back a little bit. I think the Niners, though their first-round pick seems to me to be more of, I guess I would call a sure thing, so to speak. At least that's the way that they view it. You know, what they do on the rest of these days it's going to be interesting because I think there's a lot of pressure on this draft, and nothing they've really done so far this offseason indicates to me that they're feeling the pressure of a 6-11 season. Like they've talked about how they don't want to do it again, and obviously 6-11 is something that they never want to happen, but their actions so far are not speaking to me like we're fighting for our jobs here.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe it's something in terms of an offensive line draft where they draft someone and not necessarily stash him, but don't really expect a ton this season out of him. Like, you remember that was the case with Aaron Banks when they drafted him in the second round out of Notre Dame in 2021. Didn't really play as, you know, an offensive lineman on offense as a rookie. And then the last 3 years, 22, 23, and this most recent season in 24, was generally the everyday starter at left guard. Dealt with some injury issues this past year, only played in 13 games. And then, of course, the Niners decided to let him walk because the price for him was just too steep for what they deemed he was worth, and they probably made the right evaluation there. But I think my frustration with the Niners on the offensive line isn't them necessarily, like, this draft prioritizing defensive line. I think it more so is what they've done in past drafts and not emphasizing offensive line enough. You could have read, I think, the tea leaves that when Aaron Banks' contract was due, that you might not have been comfortable paying him what the market was going to demand him. So you should have someone waiting in the wakes that you feel confident to take over. Maybe they do feel confident about whoever it is going to be playing left guard for them this year. Maybe they really feel great about Ben Bartsch, who I know filled in a little bit last year and was all right and probably was better than a lot of us expected. So maybe that is who that guy is. I don't particularly have a ton of confidence in that. And you pair that with, you know, Jake Brendel at center and Colton McKivitz at right tackle, and I have a lot of questions with all of those guys. And then you guys are talking about Trent's injury history and his age. I've got a question there. Like, I legitimately see four spots on the offensive line that need some sort of you know, addressing, and different levels of it, of course. So my concern with the offensive line isn't necessarily that, say, they should have used a first-round pick on him this year. It's that I think the mistake was in past drafts not emphasizing it more often. And for a team that for so long was so dead set on building from the trenches out, and they seem to be getting back to that, it's mostly on the defensive side of the football, and I just wish they would have maintained that philosophy on the offensive line for the last few drafts as well.
Yeah, I think while many Niner fans would agree with you, Mark, that, you know, maybe had you not traded for Trey Lance and you had those three first-round draft picks, maybe one of those became an offensive lineman. Funny enough, this team usually doesn't use day-one picks on the offensive line.
Nope.
And at times rarely uses day-two picks on the offensive line, albeit Aaron Banks and Dominic Pooney are the last two ones they did use them on. And even last year, Jared Kingston comes in and they cut him. And they said, we don't need you. And it's like, what do you mean we don't need you? Like, what's going on here? Like, so you can fit in somewhere in the picture. So I think San Francisco is much more comfortable using that day two pick on an offensive lineman. I don't want to say took a risk, but it was kind of a quiet pick. You know, who is Dominic Pooney? And he becomes a star in year one, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, this guy's awesome. Hopefully he's playing guard for the next 10 years here in San Francisco. And I think they view this draft as similar. The difference is, and maybe I can ask you guys, does this team need a left guard or a tackle? Because if you want a tackle, there's not many guys that match the height, the weight, and the arm length that you want. So there is some slim pickings when it comes to tackle in this year's draft class. But if you want a guard, a lot of those quote-unquote tackles are more of guard archetypes, so it really depends on what you want. If you want a tackle, pick 43 may be where you have to take one because there's not many left in this year's class.
Yeah, and I think in general, tackle is a position that if you want a good one, you're going to have to pick pretty high in the draft. Like, it's much easier to find interchangeable interior pieces late in the draft, maybe on the free agent market, around practice squads, and it's a big reason why a lot of opposing defenses will move their best edge rushers to the interior to rush against those guys because they don't want them against tackles. Like, I just think the Niners, if I'm thinking about what I want, it does feel like, not that they've missed out on the next starting left tackle, perhaps, but odds are that guy is not in this draft available. So to me, if I'm thinking about where they can go, it's probably a guard. I mean, that's where I'm thinking about at this point, and that would be where the Niners would have to go to get some offensive line help. And it, again, it's not necessarily that they haven't invested picks, like total picks. I think they've spent 4 or 5 picks on offensive linemen of their last 25. They just have gotten one starter out of it. And Spencer Burford started for some time, but he's not someone you ideally want for 17 games. So it's about hitting on these players, and I don't think they've really been in a position outside of 2021 to acquire whoever is going to be the heir apparent to Trent Williams, because you're stepping into some literally and figuratively big shoes.
Yeah, you are. And to your guys' point, 5 offensive linemen drafted in the first round in the first 32 picks, or pardon me, 8 offensive linemen in the first 32 picks in the first round. 5 of them were tackles. 3 guards, 5 tackles in the first 32 rounds. And this is already a draft that wasn't necessarily incredibly deep at tackle. So maybe it is a guard, and maybe it is a guy who you can play potentially multiple positions, maybe the 3 interior spots along the offensive line, and maybe that is where the 49ers go. But it does seem pretty clear to me that there is, I mean, you have any, I mean, you even got Ben Bartsch as probably penciled in as your starter at left guard right now.
That's right.
You got Trent Williams at left tackle, you got Brendel at center, you've got Pooney at right guard, you got McKivitz at right tackle. When healthy, you feel great about Trent Williams. You feel awesome about Dominic Pooney, not just this year, but also into the future. I've got questions everywhere else. And then if anyone goes down, I mean, you're looking at Sterling. You brought up this name earlier, having to rely on potentially Austin Pleasance. You got to rely on Nick Zakel. You got to rely on Drake Nugent. And then you got to rely on guys that I think nobody has ever even heard of other than sickos like you, Sterling Bennett. So, like, I mean, they're going to draft an offensive lineman. Like, we can lock that in. It is going to happen. I'm just very terrified that this Niners season, there is a reality where they are dealt a couple of injuries on the offensive line, and the season doesn't necessarily go up in flames, but it really, 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 pushes them backward, because they just don't have the depth that I think ideally you need to have on the offensive line going into your season.
It's so frustrating, because everything you're saying is right, Mark, but this team just does not view the offensive line.
I don't get it.
As a priority, if you will. Obviously, you have a future Hall of Famer at left tackle, a third round pick at right guard, but you have Jake Brendel, who was a Dolphins castaway that backed up Alex Mack, that was, you know, a practice squad guy with Chris Forrester in Miami. You had Ben Bartsch, who was, I think, a fourth round pick of the Jaguars, but injury history in his career and got hurt last year, so who do you trust? And then Colt McKivitz is fine. He's there. He's healthy. Awesome. Thumbs up, I guess. But this team just, for whatever reason, they somehow, or for whether it's, and maybe it's because Debo Samuel's now gone, they change. Like, look, we don't have that gadget guy, screen guy on our offense, but you want to see the priority on defense almost translate to the offense as well. I get Saleh's back, and Kocerek is your defensive line coach, and you want to revitalize your defense, but if they're going to pay Brock Purdy $55 million a year and make him a top 10 paid quarterback, already has a torn UCL, broke his ribs in rookie season, got hurt last year with the shoulder. You want that guy upright. And to do that, you have to protect him. So I think you're right, Mark and Evan. Get an offensive lineman on day 2, and hopefully he can start for you on day 1 and keep your franchise literally upright and hopefully competitive the entire year.
Or you just take another quarterback. No, I'm just kidding.
If Shedeur Sanders is available at 43, do you pick him?
I'm just
trading
kidding.
Up.
No, I guess that's why I hear you guys, but I guess I don't get necessarily frustrated about the offensive line conversation, because they've never done it any other different way. Like right. I don't expect it necessarily to change. Now, the one name that you mentioned, Sterling, that I think is interesting in this conversation is Debo Samuel, because what he represented was an ability to beat you at or behind the line of scrimmage. You don't really need to pass protect for that long if you're getting the ball out extremely quickly. Where you do need to have some sort of chemistry or consistency is in the run game. And that's where I think that Kyle just comes into play. Like, he's just able to scheme up enough for whoever is in that front line. Obviously, Trent Williams is a big part of it, but that's where Shanahan and his ability to, you know, unearth different type of running schemes comes into play. You know, the question is this year, are they going to be a team that does try and attack you through the air at or behind the line of scrimmage? You've lost one of the best players in that regard, although he wasn't very effective last year. And so maybe they're changing up what they're trying to do offensively there. Or is Brock Purdy someone they try and maybe utilize a little more in the intermediary places or even downfield? Because in that case, you guys are absolutely right. You're going to need some more time. Yeah. And so I think in a way, what they do in this draft with the offensive line is going to give us a hint as to how Kyle Shanahan is going to, which a lot of people have been asking for, adjust his offense to opposing defenses and modern defenses, or whether he's just kind of going to be stuck in his ways. And to be fair, it's won the 49ers a lot of games, but last year it did not.
I am fully aware that I am likely just screaming into the void about the Niners offensive line. Like, I fully understand that. But the other part of this that is increasingly frustrating is, all right, you're going to be paying Brock Purdy however much money of $50, $55, $60 million a year, and you're going to trot him out, likely behind an offensive line that features Ben Bartsch, Jake Brendel, and Colton McKivitz. I'm not predicting anything sinister here, but I'm just telling you, generally, when you have a quarterback making that much money, you want a high-priced offensive line taking care of him. And I know that when you're paying a quarterback that much money, you have to be really selective about where the money is spent elsewhere, because that takes up such a gigantic part of your cap. But that's not the best way, guys, to protect, you know, a record-breaking investment into your franchise quarterback. Like, I don't know. It is a risky game the Niners are playing. That's all I'll say.
Well, I think Evan's on to something here, because he mentioned Shanahan coming into play without Deebo Samuel having a running game. Does that mean Kyle overvalues and overdrafts a running back this year and says, hey, look, Christian McCaffrey, we're going to gonna make you the Deebo Samuel or utilize you more as that slot receiver screen player? And Kyle says, look, I like the offensive line enough, but if I get my running back I love on day two and you run the football pretty darn well, you don't really have to rely on sitting back with 5 to 7 step drops on, you know, 3rd and 10 every single time with Brock like he did last year.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, how expensive these positions are sometimes does come into play. Like, generally, interior linemen are a little more cheap to keep, specifically than edge guys or tackles, I should say. Aaron Banks is someone that priced himself out, and the Niners having given out massive amounts of money or second contracts to those kinds of players. But, I mean, you're looking at the wide receiver market that is just freaking ballooned, and the Niners got caught seemingly with their pants down by Brandon Ayuk last offseason around this time. Obviously, the quarterback market is something that's ridiculous. And so, I don't know, you know, maybe taking a running back is not the worst thing, because they're not really that expensive to keep around or to just interchange. And the Niners have one of the most expensive running backs in the land, and they are not sure whether he's going to be the same ever again. You know, I don't know. You can make a case that we've seen the best of Christian McCaffrey. You can make the case we've seen the best of a lot of these positions. So I think overall, the Niners, and I think it was you, Mark, that brought up, well, what happens if someone goes down? Last year is what happens if someone goes down.
Six and 11. Wins.
That's why this draft is so important, to try and at least cushion yourself for when probably one of your players gets hurt.
Yeah, it's the NFL. Someone is going to get hurt, and very likely multiple someones, and you see how you can survive it. For what it's worth, Christian McCaffrey has been at the Niners facility this past week, and he has said that he's 100%, no restrictions, ready to go. But we had no idea he was even really dealing with anything at this point last offseason, and then he missed the first couple months of the season, and then he came back, and then he hurt himself quickly thereafter, and the season was over. So we shall see what the rest of the offseason has in store for McCaffrey. But there is no doubt, no matter how many or how few offensive linemen they draft this draft, that Christian McCaffrey's health is one of the most important things going for the Niners this year. Okay. Time for one quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. We got, once we come back from break, about 10 minutes left with you. You want to get your thoughts, your questions, your comments in, do so now. 888-957-9570. Also on our YouTube chat, youtube.com /957. The game, it is draft night here on 95.7. The game, Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Randy. Back to wrap things up right after this here on 95. Overall, they've got 9 or 10 more picks to make, 11 total picks. They made one today, so 10 more picks, including the 11th pick in tomorrow's second round, picking 43rd overall. They have 2 picks in the third round, including a compensatory pick at the very tail end. But John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan spoke earlier tonight about Mike Williams. You guys want to hear maybe the biggest compliment that John Lynch could possibly give an edge rusher?
Yep.
Let's do it. John Lynch on Mike Williams earlier today, calling the newest 49er the best edge setter in college football. Here it is.
Specifically to that, you know, I was just talking to Chris Kocurek, and he said this, and, you know, when we went through our draft meetings, I think he's the best edge setter in college football. I think he's the best edge setter in this draft class. So if that's the premise of one of the things that's a hallmark of what we want in an edge guy, he does it extremely well. I think that was impressive. Again, I mentioned the ability. He plays outside. He can come inside in the sub rush packages and rush over guards. I think, you know, him being 20 years old but having a maturity and a way about him when he came through here, we felt that. We felt his presence. They talk about it at Georgia, his leadership and all those things, and you could feel it. He's just very comfortable in his own skin, and that was impressive when you put it along with together with the film.
Obviously, edge rusher alongside Nick Bosa, you want a guy that can get to the quarterback and bring him down at least a handful of times throughout the season. But we also know if you are a 49er edge rusher, you have to also set the edge, and you have to be able to defend against the run as well. And there are a few things the 49ers like to do more than defend the run. And you need discipline from your edge defenders, and that's something that hopefully they got in Mike Williams. Very, very high praise there from John Lynch, the general manager.
And it's smart, too, because you look at what the Niners have on their roster, and it's, well, you don't have Leonard Floyd anymore. You don't have Malik Collins anymore. You got Nick Bosa, and that's great. We all love Nick Bosa, but you have to play James Conner twice a year, Kyren Williams twice a year, McVay twice a year, and then Kenneth Walker in Seattle, who now, again, has a Kubiak offensive system. So you have to be able to stop the run against – it's almost like playing yourself every single Sunday in your own division. So if Shanahan wants to run the rock 35-plus times, so do the Cardinals, so do the Rams, so do the Seahawks, and to go up against those teams week by week – you have to be able to stop the run. The Cardinals last year at Levi Stadium just gashed San Francisco in that second half and ran right through them to win the football game. So not to say Michael Williams changes that game for them, but it does certainly help them going forward against pretty good running backs in their own division.
Yeah, I mean, look, the last couple of years have not been kind to the 49ers when it comes to stopping the run. And I know that even 2 years ago, across the regular season, they were very good, but if you look at the averages, yards per attempt, you dig a little bit deeper, they were kind of league average. You know, they weren't particularly great at stopping the run. That obviously manifested itself most notably in the NFC Championship game against the Lions. They got over on it, but it was something that lingered into this season. And when we're talking about injuries, everything happened to them, it felt like, at once. Well, then they really got killed on the ground. And they could not stop anybody when they needed to, particularly at the end of games. And you have to be able to stop the run if you're going to come back in a football game, which is what the Niners have been unable to do, it feels like, since Kyle Shanahan got here, but particularly last season. If you're going to, let's say you're down by a score, you got to get a stop. The other team in a 6-minute offense is going to put the ball on the ground. You got to be able to stop them. And so I think this is a player that helps identify a glaring need on the line. Excuse me. And now they can try and add to that and supplement it in the days to come.
Yeah. Final few minutes with you here on draft night on 95.7 The Game. That's Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett, and Mark Randy with you as well. Obviously, you draft an edge rusher, you draft a pass rusher, you want him to be able to get to the quarterback. Here's John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan on specifically what Mike Williams does as a pass rusher.
I think he's got a lot of upside. His skill set is a guy that can rush with power. He's a good enough athlete where he's got some wiggle. He's extremely proficient. I think when they run games, For that big of an athlete, I think he's a really good stop-start. Sometimes those guys can get going, but it's hard when a quarterback steps up. They can't change direction. I think he can do that really well. So he's got a lot of attributes. He's obviously got to come put them all together, but we're excited to work with him.
It's awesome when you got a guy that the more you watch him, the better he gets. When you see how he uses his length and his arms and stuff, that stuff doesn't jump off the tape with everyone. Like when you first turn on Nick, when he was at Ohio State, you don't appreciate him the first time you watch him. But the more you watch him, you realize how much of a ninja he is with his hands and hand placement, all that stuff. And that's how Mikel grows on you, too. The more you watch him, like, man, this guy's – I knew he was good, but he's a lot better than I thought. And then, I mean, love him over guards. But he also can do it outside just as well. So to have that versatility, two areas that can help us a lot, and to be as physical in the run game and to be the type of guy he is, that's why it's been a spot guy we were hoping for a while.
Final couple minutes, guys, but listening to the way that the 49ers are talking about Mikel Williams, I can't help but think about this conversation that we've had about Nick Bosa for a couple of years now, ever since he won that DPOY and then signed that gigantic contract. And he hasn't quite maybe put up the sack numbers that Niner fans had been hoping for, but no denying he's still been, you know, maybe aside from Fred Warner, the Niners' best defender, even without those sacks, because the playing defensive line for the Niners is about so much more than just getting to the quarterback. But the way that they're talking about Mikel Williams, it might be, you know, we don't expect this guy to be close to a double-digit sack guy, at least not early in his career, but he's going to do a lot of the other things that help you win a football game.
It almost sounds like they're going to play him on the outside during base downs on first and second down, but once third down comes around, they're going to move him into the interior. That's really what it sounds like, and that leads me to say that you could maybe see an edge rusher taken again on day two, where they may want to pair things up and say, hey, look, you know, Mikel, yes, is an edge rusher, but he can play inside on third down. We can pair him with, I'm not going to say Mike Green's name, but get a Landon Jackson, a powerful player, a guy that has some length to him. You know, there's other players out there, of course, but it does seem like San Francisco, in what John Lynch was saying earlier of, you know, that's not going to be the only defensive lineman. Yes, we have needs on the interior, but Mikel Williams can play both of those positions for you on certain downs. So they may try to be getting a little tricky with things here on the defensive line this season.
Yeah, I mean, it also sounds like a player they believe is going to set the edge, but he's someone that I always felt like when the Niners, their defensive fronts were at their best, it's because they were tough, they were physical, and they move people around. Last couple of seasons, it feels like they've been manhandled more often than not, Nick Bosa sometimes included. And this is a player that they believe at 6'5", 260 pounds, with room to fill out his frame, whether he's running up against tackles on the outside, he's someone that is not going to be given up ground. And then, potentially, you can move him to the inside, and that's where he can win. You know, at the end of the day, that's why Nick Bosa has been so valuable, because he still wins in the pass rush despite being a player that maybe doesn't get the amount of sack totals that you're looking for from a DPOY player of his past. Williams is someone that they're looking to, I think, set a tone, specifically in the run game. And that's a lot to ask of a rookie. It's a lot to ask of a player that, you know, wasn't able to show all that he could do last year because, in his own words, he was playing through injury. But that's what they're going to need from him. And that's what you want from a first-round pick, a potential top-10 type player. So there's heavy expectations. I think there's a big bullseye potentially on the front office to get this pick correct and get it right. And most importantly, just get back to what the Niners have been of old, which is a dominant front, four-man lineup. Doesn't have to be creative. Just kick the other team's ass.
Yeah. And there's pressure to get this pick right specifically. There's also pressure to get the rest of this draft right as well, and that continues tomorrow, rounds 2 and 3. Round 2 begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Niners have a pick, the 11th pick in the second round, 43rd overall. They have the 75th overall pick. That's in the third round. You tack on a compensatory pick at the end of that third round. So they are expected to make 3 picks tomorrow, although there could be some trades that shake things up. We shall see. What I can promise you is Sterling and I will be with you live from 6 to 10 tomorrow as well to react to everything the 49ers do in day number 2. And I'm already looking forward to it, guys, because that's all the time we have tonight. thanks so much for being here. Thanks as well to Steven Rizzotto and to Cam Williams behind the glass, making us sound good, chopping up all that sound from Lynch Shanahan and Michael Williams. For Evan Giddings, for Sterling Bennett, I'm Mark Randy. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk tomorrow. Niners go edge rusher. Michael Williams of Georgia is the pick at 11 overall. They've got 10 more draft picks left. We'll continue to break it down tomorrow on draft night, day two here on 95.7 The Game. Until then, Mark Randy signing off. Thanks so much. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later on 95.7 The Game.